This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thanks for staying tuned. I'm Philip C. here with Shazana Mokhtar on The Morning Run. We are looking at political reform because last week, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri announced that the government has in principle agreed to enact a political funding bill and that the policy scope of the bill will be tabled in cabinet soon before consultation with political parties.
Now, the announcement was made after a meeting of the Special Cabinet Committee on Anti-Corruption, which is chaired by Ismail Sabri, if I'm not mistaken. He also announced a host of other anti-corruption initiatives, such as revamping the National Anti-Financial Crime Centre into a central agency to manage seized and forfeited assets, as well as the introduction of the National Good Governance Plan for all government bodies. However, the political funding bill is a welcome decision in a landscape that is infamously opaque when it comes to sources of political financing.
Civil society groups like Transparency International Malaysia have been calling attention to this issue for decades. So how would an effective political funding bill look like to properly combat corruption in politics? Joining us on the line to discuss this is Dr. Mohamad Mohan. He's the president of Transparency International Malaysia. A very good morning to you, Dr. Mohan. First question, how has the lack of political funding laws in Malaysia impacted perceptions of integrity of the government and political parties?
Okay, thank you and very good morning. You see, at the moment, we don't have any political funding laws, although, as you have mentioned, it's more than 14 years when we first mooted the idea. So without political funding laws, the perception is very negative on the integrity of political parties and politicians. Because there are no laws at the moment to regulate political funding, funds can be channeled to politicians directly instead of the political parties as donation. We have seen this in several of the high-profile cases recently. This is what has been happening. So how much of these funds go to the political parties is unknown, and this opens the opportunity for corruption. And in many instances, making these donations, these are the people who are beneficiaries of various projects awarded by the government. And somehow, when politicians approach them, they feel obliged to return a favor. And that is why they go and donate funds to these politicians. So it is no surprise that in all previous research done and the public perception on the most corrupted institution in the country are politicians and political parties. So that is where we are today.
So, Dr. Mohan, what do you see as the key areas that this proposed bill should address? What do you think are the laws or the fact the elements that it should cover?
Yes, I will highlight some of the key areas. Number one is it must be made mandatory that all expenditure incurred by the political parties and the candidates are independently audited by qualified auditors before the accounts are submitted to the election commission, especially during the election period. And there must be a limit set on the expenditure for candidates and political parties based on the geographical area size of the constituency and the number of voters. This is to mitigate the impact of any gerrymandering, especially by the ruling government. And the other thing is also to make it mandatory for political parties to declare their source of funds and their expenditure. So at the moment, one of the problems is we do not know where are they getting these funds. The other important element that should be in the proposed bill is to amend the Election Offences Act 1954, where it only says that controls are put on the expenditure between the nomination day and the election day. So anything out of that period, that is not required to be declared. So this is where the problem is. And the other important thing should be in the provision is to ban political parties from receiving funds from overseas, foreign funding. And again, we saw in some of the high-profile cases, funds are given from outside the country. And this is very dangerous because we don't want foreigners to decide the outcome of elections in our country. So these are some of the things that we are recommending to be inside the bill.
You have a comprehensive list of recommendations. So the question to you is, are there international models for political funding laws that perhaps Malaysia could emulate to implement these recommendations?
Yes, there are several countries that Malaysia can look at, especially in Europe and perhaps like in other countries like South Korea. Like, for example, in Germany, for example, they have a very high level of transparency required. And the funding can come both from private funding and also public funding. For example, in Germany, the annual financial report of political parties, including income, expenditure, and assets, must be available on the web. So, for example, if donations are more than 50,000 euros, they must be declared to the Speaker of the House, and the information must be posted on the web and the print media. And another thing in the German model is, in the case like private funding, the public actually can donate, and this is tax deductible until about 50% of the tax paid, and that is capped to about 800 euros. So there are various models that Malaysia can study, and there are in some countries also the state actually funds the political parties based on the number of votes that they have gained in the previous election. So there is a mechanism, for example, like every 100 votes you get €1 or something like that. So this is something that the government can actually look at the various models and adopt in our country.
All right. So the announcement that the government has agreed in principle to the bill has been widely welcomed. But at this stage, what are some of the challenges that you foresee in passing the proposed bill? What are the roadblocks that could emerge?
You see, one of the main challenge will come from the lawmakers themselves. There will be resistance from the lawmakers, both from the ruling government's lawmaker and also from the opposition. So it is not only from the government side, it will also be coming from the opposition. Now, the reason is because they have been very comfortable with the current unregulated environment. So when funds can be channeled to individual politicians as donations, so they can actually utilize the funds for their constituency or for whatever purpose. Now, some GLCs also do contribute to political parties, and these are not declared by the political parties. So these are some of the challenges that we will face, whereby, and also another thing that point that I want to raise is some political parties are also in business, and how these funds are taken from these businesses for political funding is also unknown. So our biggest challenge will be the resistance from the lawmakers themselves. And so I foresee that this whole process can take perhaps a year or more before you can actually really see the bill be at the table.
The government also announced plans to introduce a national good governance plan for all government ministries, agencies and statutory bodies. How would this be different from existing policies or guidelines on anti-corruption in governance practices then?
Okay, when the Prime Minister announced the National Governance Plan, so there is very little information that we have received. Mm-hmm. So what he mentioned was for this governance plan for government in the ministries, agencies, statutory bodies, and so on. But we have very little information besides that. But I would say that, the key thing is institutional reforms. And this is already in place in the form of the National Anti-Corruption Plan, which covered between 2019 and 2023. So the NACP is an excellent document which clearly outlines the various initiatives necessary to mitigate corruption, chiefly in the public sector and to a lesser degree in the private sector. It was initiated, by the Pakatan Harapan government and subsequently revised by the PN government. So I would like to point out that when they released the NACP, it correlated with the highest corruption perception index score recorded in 2019. But recently it was reported that only about 33% was of those initiatives have been completed. So we would recommend that what the government needs to do is to follow through the plan and support the agencies, civil servants to get it implemented, and have clear KPIs for the chief secretaries in the various government agencies or ministries to ensure successful completion. Now, this is the reason why TI Malaysia has repeatedly requested the government to get the chief secretary to the government to lead the implementation of the NACP. Because the NACP is a very clear and comprehensive anti-corruption plan which you can't find in other countries. We have looked around, and Malaysia is the only one who has a very comprehensive plan. So why you need to reinvent the wheel when you already have a plan?
Yes.
So this is why we hope that there'll be more clarity when the PM announced that there will be a national governance plan.
That was Dr. Mohamad Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia, helping us unpack what a proposed political funding bill would look like for this country. Very interesting conversation. I think he had a wish list of what he would like to see in the bill. Really, question here is, will we see execution and implementation happen for this bill?
Absolutely, because after the announcement was made, there were also headlines from other commentators or other reactions. The Home Minister, for one, Dato' Sri Hamzah Zainuddin, kind of said that there needs to be, you know, very deep consultations, very in-depth consultations, kind of signaling some reluctance maybe on the part of enacting a political funding bill. Although, as Dr. Mohan pointed out, it's really resistance from the lawmakers that will be a challenge.
Both nobody government wants, and opposition.
Exactly. Nobody wants to upset the status quo, right, if it benefits them. Mm. So that is really the uphill task that remains to be seen.
But he was very complimentary about all the different aspects being proposed, including this national good governance plan for all public sector workers.
Well, I would say he says, yes, he's looking forward to it. But at the same time, he pointed out that we actually have a plan in place. We have the National Anti-Corruption Plan that was endorsed by both the Pakatan Harapan and Perikatan National Governments. This plan is a good one, he says, even by international standards. It stands out among the best there. But as is the case with Malaysia, we have good policies on paper, but where is the enforcement? That is the part that's sometimes lacking.
Well, if we know that this bill is passed and if it is enforced right, it would mean a structural and seismic change to how our politics is run in this country. I think this is a conversation that we'll keep on giving. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.